time, we'll have our team go ahead and come up, and they'll begin to share about what has been taking place in West Africa on our latest trip.
In Africa, my name is Sanaba Dembele, and here in America, my name is Wendy Vaverka, and I go to the Beulah Baptist Church out of Richland, Missouri. I was more than excited and honored to be able to make this trip to Africa. I feel like God just finally let me go. I have been asking God to let me go to Africa since I was about 8 years old. I heard a missionary speaker in our church when I was a little girl, and I told my dad, I want to go to Africa, and he says, you'll get over it. I get over it, and I'm glad I didn't, because I had, and it was an honor and a privilege to be able to serve God in this way and be able to see what God is doing in Medabulu. I was actually a missionary in training, you might say. I kind of followed Mary Ann around and did what Mary Ann told me to do. I tried to be a good student. we went, the ladies and I and Mary Ann, we all went from compound to compound daily. And we visited with the ladies. It was a big thing to greet them every morning. That was a very important thing. It was Harasita, Harasita, every morning. And it took me all week to figure out that's what I was supposed to do. we met with the ladies every morning. Every afternoon, we would go back out after lunch and just spend time with them. We might just be, in some of the pictures, you'll see us shelling peanuts under the trees, maybe telling them stories about Jesus. And the most awesome thing about it is that this is what Jesus did. He walked from place to place, talking to people, and we hear about Jesus in the Bible and how he sat on the hillsides and he told the people about how to live. And that's what he gave us the honor and the privilege to do in Africa, was to go and tell them the stories that Jesus gave us to tell. And so we went out every day faithfully, except for the day that I was sick from eating too much peanuts. We went out every day and we visited with the people. I tell you, these are the happiest people I have ever known. I mean, it seems like you looked out there, and as Americans, we look out there and they said, well, they have nothing. There's nothing. But they were happy, very happy. And some of them are even happier now, because not only do they have each other and their way of life, which is, it may be simple, but it's good. But now they have Jesus. And stuff that, and I understand that there's even more of them that believe now than there was when we went there. So I am just honored and privileged to have been able to go, and I pray that God will allow me to go again this next year.
Well, you might not be that lucky with me. I'm a little bit longer-winded than that. You know, this is my second trip, and some of the pictures you see there of that young man right there, his name is Jara. And Jara and I got to spend a whole lot of time together. He looks at Mary Ann as like a mom. And Jara, and he has informed me the Lord has blessed us with good communication. And I get to talk to him about once a week. And sometimes they're pretty hard to understand, but he does speak English, but, you know, it's got that accent with it. And over the phone amplifies that. And Jara, he loves Jesus so much. And he kept telling me he wanted to be qualified to teach or preach the gospel like I do. And, you know, he's been a believer since June. Mary Ann got to see him be baptized, him and Daba. And that picture you see right there, that's Jara and our translator Mary, and she done such a good job translating our stories for us. But Jara's trying to learn how to translate as well. He translated for me and done a wonderful job at that. And so as you think about people going, you know, I didn't have the same dream Wendy had at 8 or 10 years old. The Lord, or probably 12, probably the Lord was dealing with me to do something like this, maybe. I don't have a clue what even, but I said, no way. I'm not going anywhere, buddy. And I didn't want to go on mission. But guys, I'm telling you, it's the greatest experience you'd ever see when you start telling about Jesus. And one of the things that I'd like to tell you is I was doing my devotion in the mornings and writing what the day's events were about. One day I studied or read about Jesus telling the story of the guy and owning the vineyard, the owner of the vineyard in it. And he fixed it all up, got it planted, and then he invited some guys to come in to oversee it. And you want to know why, you know, I asked this question, Lord, why do we need to go? But, you know, he invited these guys to come in, and as those guys, he wanted his rent off of that. That's what we would call it. You know, he rented it to them. So he sent his servants, and they killed his servants. They beat his servants, and they would send him back. And then he sent his own son. Of course, this parable is a story about Jesus Christ. But guys, we're his servants, and we're supposed to go. And he's sending us out, and he's sending you out. Now, it may not be to Africa. It may not be that far away. You know, but as I began to pray about going, because I thought Dale was for sure going on this trip, and he informed me that he just couldn't make it right now. And the Lord provided more than enough funds for us to go. And matter of fact, I had to give Orla back funds because they gave me too much. You know, and they assured me that that would be used on missions. And guys, I'm telling you, you know, one of the things that we are to do, Jar digs wells. That's a picture you just saw. And as he dug wells, he would tell stories. And we went to two different, I'd never been out of Netabulu, but we went to two different villages. One guy he had dug a well for, and we didn't get a picture of him. But he has some kind of disease where he can't use his legs. And Sadu told me the other day that he's very, very close to being a believer. And, you know, guys, that's what we're there for. We went to his village twice, and then we went to another village, and I'm going to guess that it was 25 miles away. It took us about an hour to get there. We're so spoiled. You know, we travel 25 miles in 20 minutes, basically, you know. And but there, I told some of the guys when I came back from work, you know, it was a road when we started, and it was a path when we ended. And there was just this village popped up out of nowhere. And it was just amazing to see. And Jara had told stories there. And the first time we went there, we told a story probably to 60 or 70 people. You know, we told sea to sea, and that's from creation to the church. And it just a summarization of what happened. And then, you know, we got to tell, we had people speak about that story, because we always ask these five questions. You know, what does the story say about man? What does the story say about God? What did you like about the story? What didn't you like about the story? And what are you going to put in your heart? And Marianne will correct me if I got them wrong. But, or if I forgot one. But, you know, as we asked those questions to those guys, there was a teacher there of the Quran. And, you know, he began to tell his own story about Jesus and what he knew about Jesus and what they were taught and how Jesus had teeth when he was born and all these different things that the Bible don't ever tell us that. And then Marianne told the story of the birth of Christ. And, you know, we tried to meet their falsehoods with truth. And we was limited on time, and the teacher that was teaching that, he got up and left after the story was told. But the people stayed, and we listened for a little while, but it was getting dark, and we needed to get back, because we had a teaching every night at a certain time. It was after supper, which is about 9 o'clock, and you know, so they would stay till midnight or so sometimes. Sometimes 1 o'clock. I got tired a couple of nights and just went to bed and let Marianne and Rita have it. I just wore plum out. But, you know, the good thing about having a man team and a woman team, I went with Sadu. Sadu was our contact that does our van and stuff, and Marianne knows him well, and we become very good friends with him. But he's a believer, and he wants to see his people know about Jesus. And you say, why do we need to go? Guys, he can preach the gospel, and he knows the gospel, and he knows how to tell them about the gospel. But guys, when we travel so far to tell them about Jesus, they'll listen, because we've come so far. We ain't doing any, you know, I had one guy ask, are you building churches over there? No, we're not building churches. We're trying to gather the church that's already there. That's our goal, is to have a people meeting in Netabulu. And if they want to build a building that represents a church, that would be great. And I'm not saying that we wouldn't help them with that. But let me tell you something. It's one of those things that we are sent to do, and that's to preach the gospel, to tell other people about Jesus. And that's what we went to do. And we got to go back to Sini another time. And, you know, Satan's got all kinds of ploys to get people drawn off. And we were sitting there telling a story. And actually, Jara was telling the story, and Gesima, another young man there that interpreted for us, he was interpreting for Gesima. And me and Sadie were just sitting back and listening. That was a great experience for them to be telling the story. They knew the story good enough for them to be telling it. And Jara had practiced and practiced and practiced it. Matter of fact, he told it on the way over there. You know, and he done that in English, and then Gesima took it to them in their language so I could understand. He done that just for me. Because I was the only one there that spoke English, right? Me and him and Sadu, and they understood everything in the other language. But as they were doing that, there was a house fire. And you think, well, you know, they got 15 by 15 huts, or, you know, not very big, and their roofs are all straw. You can kind of see what it's made out of in that picture. And, you know, it would be the same here. If I seen your house on fire and I was sitting over there underneath the biggest shade tree you got in the village, I would leave and go and try to put out the fire. And I mean, they just left. I mean, it was like, whoom, and they were gone. And I took off kind of going that direction because I didn't know exactly what I was going to do when I got there. I mean, there was a lot of people there going that direction. And I had two guys pull me back. They said, "You can't go. You cannot go." And I said, "Why not? I want to help." And they said, "No." And Sadu had left, but Sadu's one of them. You know, he may not be a part of their village, but he's one of them. And they let him go. And so, you know, I came back and I thought, "No, I'm going." So I told them guys, I said, "I'm going up there whether you like it or not. You can follow me if you want to." So we went up there and they took the roof off of the thing. I mean, it was like gathering hay. I remember in our barn when I was a kid growing up, you know, we gather the square bales up and the loose hay, and that's what it was. I mean, they just took it off a ring at a time. And then they took the boards down because of it could all still catch on fire again because of the smoldering thing. And then they said that they were going to pray, and they all prayed. Of course, they're not praying to Jesus. They're praying to their God. And so I had prayer with them. I just knelt down and prayed to Jesus and prayed for the family that house belonged to. And I thought, we're done. We're absolutely, there ain't no way we're going to get back the 25 people that was sitting under that tree. Guys, there was 35 that came back. I guarantee you that. And we got to tell the story of Noah. Sadu said he wanted to tell a story. And so Sadu told the story in English, and Gesima and Jara interpreted it for them, and they just played off of one another. And guys, the 35 people there, well, there was a man there, and I don't know how old he was, but he was an old guy. And, you know, they look either older than younger than they really are, okay? So he was an older man, and he told us how glad he was that we were there, and that there was people who talked about Jesus, because he had heard other people a long time ago talk about Jesus. And he wanted us to come the next day and the next day. He wanted us to come back, to continue to come back. And you're traveling an hour. You can't just continue to go back. But, you know, Mary Hannah gave 50 SD cards when she was there last time. We gave SD cards away again this time, and I can't remember how many there was. She'll tell you that. But we gave them SD cards away. And guys, that's got the gospel in their language, the Bible in their language, so they can listen to it. They've all got cell phones. Wendy said they didn't have a whole lot. Well, most of them have cell phones. It's an amazing thing to me, but they do. And they're pay-as-you-go phones, and we even have one from over there that we use, because that's the only thing that gets, my phone has absolutely no service there. It finally got, when we went to Sini, this is an amazing thing. I never had any service there at all in Senegal, but when we went to Sini that day, my phone switched from U.S. time to Dakar time, and it was messed up because I was in New York, and then, you know, so it was off, and I wore my watch to make sure I knew what time it was here in the States, and then I had my phone that was their time. Okay, that make any sense to you? because I didn't want to count backwards all the time, because they're 6 hours ahead. I got to remember that. When I called Jaro, I got to remember now, what time is it there? It's 6 o'clock here, 6 p.m. here. You don't want to call Jaro right now. Although, you can call him and he'll probably be up reading the Bibles. That's what Marianne has said anyway. But guys, I'm telling you, it was such a great experience. And they are hungry. I mean, they don't get in a hurry. They will sit and listen to the gospel as long as you tell it. Now, if they need to go, I told Marianne I was going to tell this on her. You know, we had teenagers come at night. And she noticed that some of the teenagers didn't show one night. And she asked them why, and they said that their mom and dad wouldn't allow them to go out that night. But they told her that they was going to be there that night because they wasn't going to tell mom and dad where they were going. Sound like teenagers today and all around our place? Guys, they're just people just like us. But they wanted to hear about these stories. And, you know, it's one of the neatest things that you could ever do. And I'm glad God has blessed me to be able to go. And I'm glad that he saw me through those times of me not wanting to go, because, you know, there was a time in my life that I wouldn't have left this place called the United States to go over there and tell them. But guys, I'm telling you, the love of Jesus will transform your life if you allow it. And you'll fall in love with those people over there. You know, they're just people just like you and I. And, you know, Jara calls me his uncle. I'm his uncle now. And I've been an uncle for a little while. But, you know, he's 26 years old, so he's a little older than most of my nephews. But so I've been trying. I call him brother all the time, but I try to call him, okay, nephew, and I guess that's okay. I don't know. But he's a very upbeat person, and he stands for Jesus. And he's, you know, him and Daba both are people that are just wanting to learn what it's about to be a Christian. And we're there to teach them. And that picture of that well, I took that, and I wasn't probably supposed to take that. I was supposed to ask, but he digs those, and those are about 100 feet deep. And you see those ridges on the outside? He climbs back up out of those wells on them lips that you see going down, and it gets smaller as you go. And that's what he does for a living. He told me how hard it worked. Now, he digs it by hand, guys, and he concretes it on the way down. And that's amazing to me. Looks really nice, don't it? And, you know, that's where they get their water from. And you think about that. How hard a work is that? How hard are we working to get the gospel to them? You know, we planned on going more times than we did last year, but this year we need to go more than we did last year. I know Dale's going back the end of this month, and over Easter he'll be there. And, you know, it'd be, I mean, I'm telling you, a man and a two women and two guys, or two guys and one woman, something. It works really good, because me and Marianne and Wendy, we didn't travel very much together. We stayed apart. They done their thing during the day. I done my thing during the day. And then we all come back together at night. And we got to tell a whole bunch of stories. And we don't know what, you know, when we get to heaven, I'll meet people that that the Lord allowed me to minister to there. And that's what it's all about. When I get to heaven, I'm going to meet somebody that I didn't even know that I told that story to, and it changed his life or her life. I was at one place during the day one day, and the chief was there. And Dale, one thing I'd like to say is use your name. Marianne and Wendy used their name, and I didn't. Some of them knew my name already, so I went by Bradley. But I think it's real important in their culture that you use the name you're given in Africa. And my name is Baba. And I found out what that means. It means big. And can you imagine that? And so anyway, I think it's real important that you do that. As you introduce yourself, you could introduce yourself that way, because I didn't do that very much. And I think maybe that was offensive to Baba that I didn't do that. But as you go, you know, you think about, you know, we had talked to when Marianne had went over there in June, and we was going over expecting to be able to baptize Baba and some things. But Baba's got some things going on in his life, and guys, you got to realize what they're up against. I mean, he's a middle-aged guy, and and he's got a family, and you know, he said he had to think about some things. I told him the story of the African man, which we would say it was the story of Philip going down into the desert and talking to the eunuch. I couldn't think of what I wanted to say, but that's the way the Bible portrays it to us. And in our books, it says the African man. And I told him that story, and it's all about being baptized and following Christ. And Baba told me, he said, I want to think on this some more before I do this. And guys, you know, the Lord don't make us follow, and we can't make them follow. All we can do is present it to them. And that's what we're here to do. And he tells us to go to all the world and preach the gospel. Good news. And it is good news. You know, I'm grateful that I have a church that will back me, and sister churches that will help us, and people that will just give to that, because that's important. And I hope I didn't take everything that Mary Ann was going to say, but I just thank you for the opportunity. I thank you for all the things that, all the prayers that went up for us, because we had a little trouble getting there. I got to see New York, didn't really plan on it. Somebody said, would you rather go to Africa or New York? I'm going to Africa, people. You try to send me to New York, I'll say, no way, okay? New York has a lot of people, but and they need Jesus too, I'm sure, but.
About New York, when we had called Rita, because Rita Salter is a missionary that we've been able to work with in the past. She's actually stationed in Liberia, but because of the Ebola outbreak, she had been in Senegal, and so she was able to go with us. But when our plane, everything got kind of discombobulated, and we called her to let her know that we weren't going to be there exactly when we thought, and so she said we knew we were going to have a day in New York, and so she said, well, just remember that there are Kasanke in New York also. So we thought, okay, well, that's a good thing to think about. And we didn't run into any Kasanke in New York, but that evening when we went back to the airport, Bradley was able to share with a young man who was working there. It was actually selling cigarettes, custom-free, duty-free cigarettes at a stand there by where we were sitting. And so they were able to have a really good conversation. He is actually practicing Buddhism, is that right? But he was very open to hearing about God and Jesus, and so they've exchanged emails. So God has a plan. We don't always know, and we always think, you know, okay, we got to stick with what we're doing, but he knows what he's doing. So you just have to be flexible. So like Bradley was saying, for us to be able to go and to divide up, that helped us to be able to cover twice as much territory as we might have before. And part of what Wendy and I and Rita was there most of the time with us. A couple days she had to leave us and take care of some other business, but she would travel with us too. And then we had Mary Berry was our translator, and you've seen her in some of the pictures that Bradley, she's there in the blue dress on the right. We were going through the village, and our goal was to touch base with people that I had been able to meet and share stories with and leave SD cards with when I was there in June. And so we wanted to give those people the opportunity that as you're listening to your SD cards, what questions do you have about what you've heard? Is there anything in particular that you really like about what you've been listening to, and just giving them the opportunity to open up a discussion and talk more about where they might be in seeking Jesus as their Savior. And so we had some great discussions with people. They are listening to their SD cards. They would bring up specific stories and ask specific questions about, you know, what is the story and what is it, you know, what does it mean? And so we just had really good conversations with people. One of the things that I noticed from being there in June And then going back this time, there were a few people when I was there before that I tried to share with, and they would always let you because of having good manners. They will always, almost always let you share a story with them. But whenever you get into discussing it, you'll know whether they're really interested and wanting to know more. And so a couple of the people last year that I had met that were really kind of like, thanks for the story, and I've got things to do, you know, you can go on about your way. This time, a couple of those same people then were saying, have a seat. I'd like to hear more about God's word. What else do you have to share with us? So God is working in that village. And we could just see some, I could see some hearts that had been opened due to that fact. And so that's an exciting thing. I want to share, we could all three talk for 3 days. So, anytime you ever want to hear a story, just give us a call. We'll be glad to share one with you. But I do want to share, some that touched my heart as we were going through the village. One family last year, they were neighbors of the host family that I stayed with. And when we went, we stayed in a different compound. We stayed in Diara's compound, and he actually rents from a large family there, or a man that has a large family who has a large compound. And he is definitely, that is him right there, and one of his wives. And he is a man of peace. And so he allowed us to come and stay in his compound this time. And they have told us, always come back here. When you leave your home, whoever is coming, when you leave your home in the United States, you're going to be arriving home when you come to our compound. We want you here. And so that is really good to know. And the family that I stayed with last year, were equally as welcoming to us there, but they have a smaller compound and not as many people there. So it's just God put us where he wanted us to be this time. But their neighbors, last year when I first got there, and you may remember me telling a story about the neighbor who had been sick for a month and had been down, and they asked me to come and pray for him. And so I did, and the next day he was sitting up on top of his wall as I was walking by greeting me. So he was one of the people, and they had also wanted an SD card, and I worried about them last year because every time I would walk by their compound, they'd all be huddled in a circle listening to the radio with the SD card in it. And so I was worried because they weren't getting any work done. And so I was excited to get to go back and visit that family. Well, when I visited my host family and greeted them, they informed me that that man had passed away a couple of weeks before we got there. And so we got to go to their compound twice and visit with them. They were so pleased that we would come and visit. They are in mourning at that time, and they spend 40 days, and the women they're not supposed to leave the compound during that 40 days. The men can kind of come and go, but there's still some other restrictions and things. So they were excited that we would come and think of them and come and share, and they told us he listened to the SD card as often as he could. And I, in my heart, believe that God gave him that opportunity. I don't know. He didn't say to me that he had decided to follow Jesus, but I just believe that God gave him that opportunity, and I believe that he's in heaven today. And so we were able to share with them. They were some that they talked about three different stories that they picked out that they wanted to discuss that they had been hearing on the SD card. And so we had really good discussion with them and visited with them. And one of the ladies that was a member of the family, but she had actually traveled from a village in Gambia to be there, and then she was staying there for that time of mourning. She followed us as we were leaving to the to go out back onto the path, and she came out to us and she said, my village is in Gambia, and she said, there are some people from Spain there, and they're doing some different projects, and I don't know what those things were. She didn't go into detail, but she said, they don't say anything about Jesus. And she said, we need you to come to our village because nobody's telling about Jesus there. But she said, don't come yet because I'm here in mourning. Wait until I get back. So fortunately, Rita, since we have been there, has been able to travel through that village and make some connections there. So that's an exciting thing that has taken place. There was another family on the last day as we were, and you just never know, you kind of have in your mind, we think we're going to, you know, we want to try to visit these families and follow up, but you never know what God has in mind. And so as we were walking the last day that we were there, there was another family who saw us coming down the road, and they kind of came to the entrance of their compound and started talking to us. And one of the sons had been to the teaching that we had had the night before, and so they wanted us to come back and visit with them. And so we got to come back later, and unfortunately they had lost the brother to this young man that had come to the teaching. He was very young. He was in his 20s. Wendy might remember the exact age, but and I think it was some kind of a blood disease that he had had, but he had been sick for a while and he had died. And so they were in their compound in mourning. We got to go in and share with them, and they were very open to the gospel. And then that the brother that was alive still came to the teaching again that night. So that's another family to keep in your prayers. Another man that I was able to touch base with, I had met last year. One day towards the end of my stay last year, there had been a big windstorm and had blown off some of the roofs. You might remember that I told the story about this man when I went to visit his compound on my last day. Then he was up repairing his roof, but there were several family members down at and so in the compound, so we were sharing God's word with them, and he would holler down whenever we were discussing. He would ask questions and things, and so we were having a discussion back and forth with him on the roof. So when we got there this time, it was probably the second or third day, and we'd gone to their compound. They were just right across from where we were staying, and he wasn't home, and we'd shared with his family. But when he got home and knew we were there, he came to greet us, and so we got to talk and share. And one of the things he had said was, every time there's a big wind, I'm going to remember you. And so that just gave me the opportunity to share with him about the day of Pentecost and God's Holy Spirit and how it came in like a great and mighty wind. And I told him, I said, God's Spirit is inside of us that have come to share about Jesus with you. And so it's appropriate that you would remember us in that way. And so he came back. He came to the teaching at night. On the very last night we were there, he came and sat by my side and asked more questions and continued to really be interested in knowing about following Jesus. And he was just a little, he was hesitant to make that decision right then, but he wanted to know more. And he said, I just need a little more time to know more. So continue to pray for him and his family. On the last day that we were there, we had a very interesting experience. We were on our way to meet the chief, and we were, for some reason, but it was God's reason, we cut through this other people's compound. Well, I thought it was the chief's compound, and we were kind of spread out in how we were walking, and so Rita was kind of up with Bradley and Jara, and there was a woman sitting over to the side and a whole bunch of other women around her, and they were shelling peanuts and they're all talking and everything. So Rita immediately goes over to greet them. Well, and like Wendy said, a greeting is a really, really big thing. You just don't just start talking to somebody. You greet them, and there's like five different greetings that you say before you ever get into a conversation. And so Rita goes over, and she starts to offer this greeting, and the lady doesn't greet her back, Well, Rita's lived there for 10 years, and she's like, what? You know? And the lady, the first thing the lady says is, where is my SD card? And Rita was so taken aback that she didn't greet her back, that she was like, gonna make her work for it a little bit. And so she just, I don't even know what she said because I wasn't up there with them. Well, because I didn't hear all of this conversation, as we're walking through, the lady starts talking to me about it, and I gave her one. Because I thought, I think she needs to have one. And so then as we walked out of the compound, Rita hollered back to her that we would come back later that afternoon. So we did. Her name is Connie. And I tried to think of somebody maybe on TV that could kind of give you her personality, but she was just very, she was in charge, and I can't think of somebody to give you, but she was just, she was like the queen bee is how I described her. And so when we went back, Rita goes in first and greets her and calls her friend. Well, the lady looks at Rita and says, you are not my friend. And she points at me and says, she is my friend. She gave me an SD card. Well, I was like, okay, going to have an miscommunication. Sorry about that. But she did invite us over to sit down. Well, Rita sat right down next to her, and I thought, Rita, you're really taking a chance. I'm not sure she's going to let you sit there. But she did, and we got to talking, and she had listened to the SD card since we had been there that morning. So she started talking to us about things that she listened to and asking us questions. And so I just shared then, as God gave us the opportunity, creation to Christ with her. Well, as I'm sharing, a young man walked up, and he just blurts into the conversation. And I also said, this was one of the most difficult times of sharing that I've ever done for creation to Christ, because there were kids, there were young people, there were women her age, there were people all over the compound, and they're all doing stuff while we're sitting in our circle talking. And her eyes are watching every little thing. And so she would stop me and get them back on task and tell them what they needed to be going and doing. And then she would look back at and say, continue. And my translator would tell me, she says to continue. So I would continue. So this man walks up and he says, who are these people? What are they doing here? And she looked at him and she said, if you're so interested, you need to sit down and listen. And so he didn't. He just kept standing there. And so I try to tell a little bit more of the story. He interrupts again and says something else to her. And she stops me, and she looked at him, and she said, the imam, which is the spiritual leader in the village, the imam knows we're here. The chief knows we're here. They are here to tell us about Jesus, and if you're really that interested, you'll sit down and listen. And so he did. And he sat down next to her, and we finished telling creation to Christ. And we told him about the teaching, and he went ahead and left, and we continued to visit with her, and she was just so close to accepting Christ. And Rita even said to me, just lead her to Christ. And so I went through and talked to her about confessing Jesus as Lord and believing that God raised him from the dead. And then I just asked her, are you ready to do that? And she said, I just need a little more time. And so we said, well, we'll pray for you. Well, she said she had hypertension, and we were going to pray about that. And we bowed our heads, and we were praying for her healing. Well, at that point, everybody, all of these other extra people had left, as far as I knew. And when we finished the prayer and we raised our heads up, there was a man standing over here. And he immediately started talking, and he said, I know the power of this prayer. He said, my son was on the ground for 3 years, meaning that he couldn't walk. And he said, they prayed for him, And he has been walking ever since. Well, this was Abraham's father that we have all prayed for. And I just hadn't gotten to see him since I'd been there. Every time we'd gone to their compound, he had been working out of the village. And so it was like God just was like, here you are. And that was, so we got to tell him about the teaching and visit with him. And he came that night. And he, too, so close. I got to share creation to Christ with him again and just talk to him about confessing and believing in Jesus and asking him if he was ready to do that. And he said, and he's been listening to the SD card, but he said, he asked me if I had a French Bible, and we still had a couple of New Testaments, and I went and got one. And he said, I just need to know a little bit more before I make that decision. So again, he's another person that we need to be praying for. There was another lady that I became friends with last year, and it was the same thing. She was so happy to see us. She basically just told, Jesus is the Son of God. You have to have faith to believe in him. I said, are you ready to do that? And she said, I just need a little more time. And so, and I think there may have been some issues maybe with her husband in that household. So again, just somebody else to pray for. So what I would like to let you know then, as Bradley was saying, we are able to speak with Diarra, and I try to talk to him at least once every couple of weeks. And he told me last Monday when I visited with him that there were at least three young men that would come to the training that helped with the that learned the stories and would help with the translation, who have called him and said, we are with you. We want to follow Jesus like you are. And so Dale is going back the end of this month, and we're just want to continue to pray for them and that he has the opportunity and that they'll be open and ready to be baptized. And just we can continue to see how God is going to spread his word and enlarge the church that is already there. Jara is there. Daba is there. We know they are believers. You would be so proud. I am so proud of these young men. And yes, I call them my son. When Diarra texts me, the other day he texted me and he said, hey, Mom, how you doing? So we're just family, and I'm so proud of how they are standing boldly for Jesus. It's not that easy because you don't know how your family is going to react and if they're going to continue to let you be a part of their family or not. But they have decided that they're following Jesus and that they're not going to be shy about it. And I'm just so proud of them for that. So one of the things that I wanted to mention to you, we will be preparing some more SD cards for Dale to take. Some people had expressed an interest in contributing towards that. And so I would just mark your check in that way if you want to give towards the purchase of those. And again, like Bradley said, I am so thankful. We're all doing this together. We just happen to be the ones who are able to put our feet on the ground. There are some of you who might be able to put your feet on the ground and you just don't know it. But God is speaking to you about that. And so we just ask us questions, just find out, learn things. You'll know whether God is truly leading you in that way. But if you don't ever take that step of finding out, you're not going to know. And I'm just so excited that we have Orla Baptist Church and Wendy, representing Beulah Baptist Church. And we had Mary Berry was our translator from the Gambia. Diarra and Daba live right there in the village where we're working. Seydou works all over the country of Senegal. And then Rita, she just got to go back to Liberia this weekend. And so she arrived there today, I believe. That's the body of Christ all working together. We're all working together, and just the way that God gives us the opportunity to do that, whether we're giving or going or praying, we're all doing, working together. God is doing the work, and he is just allowing us to get to be a witness to it. And I'm just so thankful for that.
Before I let David speak, the young guys that was standing before the van, he is the imam's son. And then there's a picture of me and two or three guys. That guy, Gesima, standing there with his hands like this, and he's the only one that wears glasses. His dad was the former imam, and those boys are both going to the university. We would call it college. I kept saying college, and they would correct me. It's the university. And they're going in different places. Gesima's going to Dakar, and the other guy, St. Louis, wasn't it? I think. But anyway, you know, when you're touching the people, that the spiritual leaders of the village guys, and they were there at every teaching. There was only one night that I can remember that they wasn't there. And there was something going on in the village. I can't remember what it was. But I just wanted to, you guys have seen that go through several times. I just on my heart to tell you that that's the imam's son. And guys, that's big. We went to the imam's house. Me and David got to go there. Me and Sadu went back. Now, it was a little different setting because we went there to see Cecil. And I had so much trouble saying his name. I'm still not positive I'm saying it right. But he'll correct me when I get back, if and when I go. So,
well, the other thing about the man whose compound that we're staying in, I knew that he always went to the call to prayer. I had met him last year and visited with him, and when we were there this year, he would always be coming and going. But we didn't find out until the end of the trip almost that he was the caller. He actually did the call to prayer, and his sons were with us every day. As much as they could be outside of what they were working, and they had expressed a concern to us that, you know, they didn't want Satan to have any distraction with what we were doing, because there had been people come to their dad and say, "Why are you letting them stay in your compound?" And he said, "This young man, Jara, who lives there," he said, "since he's been here, he's lived there 6 years, and he's actually decided about 6 years ago to follow Jesus, but he just didn't know what to do about it, and he was baptized last summer. But he said, since he's lived here in my compound, I have had no problems." And he knows that that's because God is watching over him. And he said, "So I don't have any problem with them coming and telling about Jesus and staying with him." So that was another cool thing that God is doing.
Well, let's give the Lord another hand for the good report that we've heard from West Africa. You know, I said it this morning, and it really is true. God is at work all over the world. He's at work building His kingdom. And His kingdom isn't necessarily a building. It's not a nation. It's not a people. But it is. It's all different kinds of people. People that He's drawing into a right relationship with Himself through Jesus Christ. And it's such a thrill to be involved in that. I'm so glad that you guys are here tonight. You're into this report, and some of you have prayed, some have given, others have gone. You know, there's a lot of things we can do with our lives. There's a lot of things you're doing right now, but how many things are you into right now that are going to last for all eternity? Man, this is an investment you can make. I saw a quote not too long ago by William James, and it really applies to what we're talking about tonight. "The greatest use of a life is to spend it on something that outlasts it." And this is one thing you can do. You can spend you can invest your time, your energy, your talent, your money in something that's going to change people for eternity. Like Bradley said, he's going to meet people in heaven who maybe he didn't even really know in this life. Maybe they didn't even speak the same language because he shared Jesus. He told them about Jesus. And so I thank you for listening tonight. I thank you for praying. Man, we've got prayer warriors in this room, and I thank God for our prayer warriors. You keep praying. Pray for Dale as he goes in March. Pray for Giara. Giara, very likely, he's probably going to be the pastor in that village someday. He's probably going to be the one who's going to lead the church in Netabula. So pray for Giara. Pray for Baba and guys like that that have made a profession of faith. They're still counting the cost of what it means to live that outwardly. And guys, this is a culture that is 99% Muslim. Now, it's not maybe radical Islam like we see in other parts of the world, but I'll tell you what, there's a cost for people who follow Christ. And so pray for Baba. And pray for our church and pray for our group, the churches that have come together for this too. Our plan, here's our goal. You've heard from them not so subtly that maybe some of you are being called to go. Well, our plan, if it's God's will and God is leading us, is that we'll go 3 more times this year. Dale's going to take a trip later this month. We'd like to take a trip in the summer. We'd like to get back again in the fall. And like they said, there's so many people that are right on the cusp of being ready to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So you pray for that too. You know, the Bible says to pray that God would raise up workers, for the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So pray for that too. Just pray for all of these things. And let's just give God the glory for what He is doing in West Africa and all throughout the world. Let's pray together tonight. Father, I just thank You for this wonderful report that we've heard. Lord, I could just sit and listen to these stories all night myself, and I'm thankful for how people are hungering and thirsting for Your Word, for living water. Lord, I know that there's people that are religious, people that live their lives in a moral fashion, people that are caught up in worldviews and systems that are totally in opposition to Your Word, that are still hungry for Jesus, and they want to know more about Him, the One who saves. And so I thank You for what this team was able to accomplish. We know that they did it all because of Your strength and Your power. Your Word says that You are the vine and we're the branches, and without You we can do nothing. I thank You for the victories that have been won. Lord, even since they're coming back to the States, we believe that there's been more activity. We know there has been. And we just give You praise for all that's been going on. Thank You for how You knit us together, and just for the joy of being on mission for You. Lord, we've made friends, and Lord, I know that we didn't get to share this, but Wendy had this on her heart since she was 8 years old, and she heard about our trips on a trip to East St. Louis, on another mission trip as we talked about our trip to Africa. Thank You for how You bring us together, Lord. That's no accident. That's Your divine appointment. And thank You for the people that are here tonight and the churches that are represented. God, I pray that You would just stir our hearts to be on mission for You. And we do lift up the people in West Africa. We lift up Dale to You as the time is approaching for him to draw near. And Lord, we'll have times together where we can come together and pray as the time leads up to his trip. But I pray that You'd be preparing him right now and prepare those in the villages and even in surrounding villages. I just pray that you would just pave the way for a divine appointment and do a great and mighty work. And thank You for Dale's willingness to go. And God, I just pray for future trips and for those that are called to go. And Lord, others in this congregation, there's others in this body tonight that are gathered here that are going to be going other places on mission for You. Just stir their hearts, Lord, and I pray that You would just help us to continue to be Your disciples. Lord, I lift up Giara and Baba and others in the village, Lord, especially Giara. Lord, I pray that You would just continue to help him to be a bold witness for You. Give him Your favor. Lord, I pray that many would come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior through His witness and through His testimony. God, I thank You for Rita and the good work the International Mission Board is doing over in West Africa and all throughout the world. And Lord, I know that they need our help too. It's a both and proposition. And so I pray that we would continue to work with them and other evangelical bodies of missionaries that are serving over there. And God, I pray that You would just again, just bless the people, the Kasanke people and the village of Netabulu and others that need Your Word. Lord, we can't imagine what it's like to be in a situation where few people have even heard the name of Jesus. And fewer still have ever had an opportunity to respond to a clear presentation of the gospel. And so help them to continue to be drawn to Your Word. Lord, we pray that strongholds would be broken, that areas where the darkness exists, that the light would penetrate the darkness. We stand on Your Word, and we know that that's what You say will happen. And we thank You, Lord, that we can be Your ambassadors. Now, Lord, as we depart from this place, I just pray that You would take us home safely, help us this week as we go about our work and our business, and bring us back into our different respective houses of worship, Lord, on Wednesday and then on Sunday. And I thank You again for all the work that's going on, and help us to be very sensitive to Your Spirit and how it's moving, and help us to say yes to the things that You want us to do. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.